contrary to the impression that one might get, Hanukkah celebrates not so much the victory over the Greeks, over Antiochus, but it was really a victory over the Misyavnim, over the Jewish extreme Hellenizers. The people who wish to import foreign values and replace the values of Torah with other things. The victory of Hanukkah, in effect, highlights the bracha of Bilam, Hein Am Levadad Yishkon. Culturally, we wish to chart our own paths, our own values. The Medrash in Eicha Rabba states, Im Yomar Lacha Adam Chochma Bagoyim Tamei, Torah Bagoyim Al Tamei. If someone tells you that he has found wisdom amongst the Gentiles, you should believe him. But if he tells you that he has found Torah, you should not believe him. Torah refers to our values. They are derived from our tradition, not from the world outside. Part of being an Am Levadad is, as is true for every community, that our first responsibility is to our own. This is true both on a local level and on a national and religious level. The Pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim states, in Kesef Talves Ami, Rashi quotes from the Mechilta, Ani Eircha V'Ani Eracheres Ani Eircha Kodman. The poor of your city take precedence over the poor of another city. And further Rashi quotes, Im Kesef Talves Ami, Ami V'Goy Ami Kodem. If you have your own and you have non-Jews, that your first responsibility is to your fellow Jews. And this is true for every community. Every community is first responsible for its own. When people speak of Tikkun HaOlam in the contemporary sense, fixing the rest of the world, one needs to remember that it is a value, but it is only one value in a larger constellation of values and priorities, and it is not usually the highest one. And it is certainly not a substitute for Torah or mitzvos or a responsibility to one's own community, as some would have it. It is in some ways a part and in some ways a supplement. That said, Lo alecha amalecha ligmar. We can't fix everything in the world. But Lo ata ben chorin libatel mimenu. You also cannot ignore your responsibility. We are members of a larger society, a society that welcomes us, and that in itself creates responsibilities. The notion that ami v'goy, ami dem, suggests that we are dealing with prioritizing one before the other, not completely neglecting one of them. The Gemara, the Brisa, Gittin, states, Mefarnes amani akum amani Yisrael, u'mevakum cholei nachum cholei Yisrael, v'kover meisei nachum meisei Yisrael, mei darkei shalom. We have a responsibility not only to bury our own dead, not only to support our own poor, not only to visit our own sick, but to do that for the rest of society as well. And while we do not share all of the values of the culture and society in which we live, nor should we, there are those values which we most certainly share and are responsible for helping to uphold them. Amongst those values are tzedek and mishpat. These are common values that we possess and which are central to every civilized society. Obviously, we bear some responsibility to the entire world as well, but our capacity to respond is limited. It is not easy to feel the pain of every society that is suffering. When scores of innocent children are mowed down by fanatics halfway around the world, it should evoke a response. But given how far it is removed, it's not easy. Furthermore, it sometimes begins to resemble what Rabban Gamliel in Gemara Shabbos describes, Ein Bisar HaMesh Margish B'Ismil. We have suffered so many times that each additional suffering sometimes is like sticking a knife in dead flesh. The repeated occurrences and distance make it hard to respond on an emotional level, even if in principle we should. When it is closer to home, however, we have a greater responsibility to try to respond, at least emotionally, to be moved and to feel the suffering of others. A week and a half ago or so, I was at Stern for Shabbos, for a Shabbaton. And at the Tisch, one of the students asked me about what was my response to the events that occurred in Ferguson and then more recently in Staten Island. I commented at the time that I saw a difference between the two events. In one situation, I thought the events were unclear. Could be what happened was justified. But the other one, I just commented based upon media reports, suggested that really there was a problem, that a person who was perfectly innocent was killed by the police, and there was no justification. That's what I said at the time, and I said, I'm not sure what the appropriate response is, but clearly there's something wrong. The following week, however, I watched the video of Eric Garner's death, and I was almost in a state of shock watching. I couldn't believe my eyes. Nothing that I had said previously was wrong. My response was fundamentally, I think, correct. But the video had a transformative impact. I could not believe what I was seeing. I saw what could best be termed halachically a ma'aser ritzicha, an act of murder. The murder of an individual by a group of members of law enforcement, an individual who was not a danger to anyone, who was not violent, and who cried repeatedly, "I cannot breathe, I cannot breathe." I am no Bucky in the details of chokeholds, but the coroner determined that Mr. Garner died of asphyxiation as a result of compression of his throat and chest. I don't know what the police are taught in training, but if the rules permit this kind of behavior, then they can have no validity or standing. No human being has the right to legislate or permit behavior which can and sometimes does lead to the death of people who are not deserving of death. Even if such a law were to be passed, it would ipso facto be null and void in our eyes. But to be truthful, I doubt such a law or regulation exists or was being followed in this case. Let me repeat and be clear. This was from the vantage point of halacha, a ma'aser ritzicha. Granted, it was not bemazed. It was not premeditated. It was not intentional. But the shedding of blood, even unintentionally, is shvichos damim. The punishment for ritzicha bemazed is misas bezdin. The punishment for shogeg is galus. Ritzicha b'shogeg requires a kapara. And then there is a category that is called shogeg karov lemezid, for which there is no death penalty, but galus is not a sufficient kapara. Its perpetrator, in a theoretical halachic society, is not sheltered by the Arei Miklat, the cities of refuge, but is condemned to a life of having to avoid the clutches of the Goel Hadam. What I see in front of my eyes watching this video is the Ritzicha of Shogeg Karov Lemezid. It is no different than the Shaliach Bezdin who negligently adds on an ekalash and who would be in principle considered a Shogeg Karov Lemezid. What I saw with my own eyes was nothing than Shvichos Damim through negligence. There are Averos in the Torah which receive a greater punishment than Shvichos Damim. Avodah Zarah and Shabbos and some of the Arayos get Skila, and we normally take the Chomer HaOnesh to reflect on some level the Chomer HaAveira. But only Shvichos Damim damages the world in an extremely destructive fashion. The Rambam in Hilchos Rotzeach U'Shmiras Nefesh, Perek Dalet Halacha Tes, speaks about the punishment of Kippah, of someone who is clearly guilty of murder but for some technical reason cannot be executed. And the Rambam states, following the mission of the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that basically we put him in prison and we make sure that he dies in short order in a passive sense, passive fashion. The Rambam goes on to explain that Kippah is limited to Ritzicha, and he explains why. He says, "Vein osin davar zeh l'shar mechuyav imisas beisdin. We don't do this to anyone else who's liable for capital punishment. Ela in this chayiv misa memisanoso vim eino chayiv misa potrinoso. If he's chayiv misa, we kill him. If not, we acquit him. Even though there are averos that are more severe than spilling of blood, ein bohem hashchosas yeshuvo shel olam kishvichos damim. They don't destroy the civilized world the way that shedding of blood does. Afilu avodah zarah vein tzarach lomar arayos o chilul shabbos einam kishvichos damim. Idolatry, adultery, and incest, chilul shabbos, are not the equivalent of shedding of innocent blood. She'elu ha'avonos hein me'averos shebein adam la'kadosh baruch hu, avo shvichos damim me'averos shebein olavein chavero. Shedding of blood is an avera between man and fellow man. V'chol mi she'esh b'yado avon zeh harehu rasha gomor, v'ein kol ha'mitzvah she'asa kol yamav shkulim k'neged avon zeh. V'lo yatzilo oso min hadin, she'nemar adam ha'shuk b'dan nefesh ad bor yonus al yisnechuvah. Nothing can outweigh the weight of spilling of innocent blood. Go learn from what happened with Ahav. And the Rambam continues to explain. Ahav was the worst of the malachim that ever was. The amount of Avodah Zarah that he did and he introduced to Klal Yisrael was paralleled by no other king. But ultimately, when his din came about, in the throne scene with Mihayu ben Yimla, there was one thing that convicted him. And the Rambam says, V'lo ayasham davar acher sheshakol kenegdo ela demei Navos. It was the spilling of the blood of Navos. Shenemar v'teitze haruach v'atamod l'fnei Hashem zo ruach Navos. And the Rambam notes, V'arehu harasha Achav lo harak biyado. He didn't kill with his own hands. El sibeb kal v'chom el hori biyado. In fact, he didn't even kill. He didn't even arrange. It was his wife Izebel. And Achav, so din was sealed over Shvichos Domin. As such, we cannot stand by while innocent blood is shed. And especially when that blood is shed by Shluchei Didan, by our Shlichim. The government, the police, they are Shluchei Didan. The Gemara has a question by the Kohanim. Are they Shluchei Derachman or Shluchei Didan? But make no mistake, our elected officials, our district attorneys, our police officers, they are Shluchei Didan. The Gemara in Shabbos states that Kol mi she'efshar limchos, anyone who can make a macha v'lo micha, I paraphrase, is nispas aloso avon, is held responsible for that avera. There's a difference between tochacha and macha'a. Tochacha, the mitzvah of rebuke, is only a mitzvah if it's going to be effective or might be effective. If it stands no chance of succeeding, it's not a mitzvah, sometimes it's an avera. But macha'a is relevant even if it won't succeed. It is as much for the one who is making the protest as for the target of the protest. To stand by and say nothing and remain silent makes one an accessory. Thus, when a fellow human being with a tzelem elokim just like ours is murdered and we witness it with our own eyes, how can we let the moment pass without some reaction? Every act of murder is terrible, and every loss of innocent life is a tragedy. But when it happens at the hands of the organs of justice of our society, and the system of justice fails to recognize what has happened, some kind of macha'a is in order. To be honest, however, I'm not sure what the appropriate macha'a is. I'm not an activist. I'm not an organizer. I do know that macha'a should not be counterproductive. It should not alienate the people that one is trying to persuade. But beyond that, I can't tell you exactly what it should be. But I implore all of you to do at least one small thing. I ask you, to those of you who haven't, to take 3 minutes, bisman shehu lo yom v'lo laila, to watch the video. Chazal comment, lo tehe shmiya gedola me'ri'ya. What I heard or read, what I heard with my ears, did not compare to what I saw with my eyes. If a picture is worth 1,000 words, as they say, the video is worth 1,000,000. Why do I choose to talk about this here? Or better said, why do I think that this message is particularly relevant to us? My job in life is to study and teach Torah. Your job is to sit and learn. Many of you, like myself, would be happiest if we were left alone to spend our days studying Torah day and night. But there are times that we must stop and make a macha'a so that they don't say, Ho'il v'hava yasfi rabban v'lo machuba, shma mino akonichalahu. That our silence indicates some type of acquiescence. And there are many specific reasons why this issue is relevant to us. First, this is not just an act, a regular act of Ritzicha. This is an act, as I stated, perpetrated by Shluchei Didan. And even though the Gemara in Kiddushin tells us, and in Ksubos, Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira, nonetheless the Mishaleach is still culpable B'dinei Shamayim. And I wish to be clear here. I believe that most of our shluchim in the NYPD are good people who strive to do their job sincerely and honestly and serve the people of the city with distinction, and they are asked to do a really hard job. But nonetheless, there are some about whom this cannot be said. Number two, the issue here is not exclusively about race. The destruction of Tzelem Elokim and the inherent tragedy should shock us regardless of race or creed. But race certainly plays a role in this story. Our history as a people teaches us what it is like to be the oppressed. We suffered for numerous millennia centuries at the hands of authority, official oppressors, from Paro to Antiochus to Hadrian to the medieval crusaders to Yimach Shemo. And in many corners of the world outside of Medinas Israel and this country, the specter of anti-Semitism has reared its ugly head again. And sometimes it is perpetrated or fostered by the authorities. We need to be sensitive to others in the same position. The African-American community, to the extent one can speak of it as a monolithic entity, faces many difficulties and hardships. Not all of them are the fault of broader society, and many of them cannot be solved by broader society. But make no mistake, much of that misfortune and suffering is the legacy of slavery, segregation, overt discrimination, and even more commonly and often unconsciously, stereotyping and bias. As Jews, we are no strangers to discrimination and stereotyping, some of which still persists in the dark corners in this country. The Torah warns us about Onas Ager. Rabbi Lezer HaGadol says in the Gemara of Bava Metzia, 36 or 46 times the Torah warns us. I don't know where all those places are, but I trust Rabbi Lezer HaGadol. And why does the Torah warn us about Onas Ager? Because Ki Geirim Hayisem BeYeretz Mitzrayim. We know what it's like because we have been there, and we should act accordingly. The Gemara in Shabbos tells the story of Hillel Hager, of Hillel and the Ger, who asked them to teach him the Torah on one foot. The essence of Torah, according to Hillel, is Dalach Sini Lechaver Tach Lo Saved. Whatever is repulsive to you, don't do to someone else. If we complain, and we do, when the world remains silent in the face of mistreatment of Jews, how dare we remain silent of the suffering in our own backyard? Just put yourselves in the shoes of the other person. How would you feel if your kippah made you suspect in the eyes of law enforcement? Third and finally, and maybe most importantly, the world of the Beis Medrash needs to be one of concern and compassion for others. Et Toras Chesed. As the Rambam states in Hilchos Shabbos, the Mishpatei HaTorah are not nekama ba'olam. They are not vengeful, they are not harsh, but they are rachamim v'chesed v'shalom. We cannot solve all the problems of the world, and perhaps we shouldn't try either. But we must be models of Baishanim, Rachmanim, and Gomle Chasadim. We must not be, nor appear to be, callous or indifferent to the suffering of those outside of our own Dalaramas. As I mentioned earlier, Chanukah represents in some way not allowing the outside world in. But the reverse isn't true. The mitzvah of Neiros Chanukah is about shining the light outwards. And the light is Kiner Mitzvah V'Sora Or. It's the light of Torah. And we often forget that our Torah and many of its values has enormous relevance not only for us, but for the rest of the world as well. We have a lot that we can and should teach the world. Western society has many virtues, but sometimes looking at our society, one might see what Yirmiyahu HaNavi described, Ra'isiyes ha'aretz v'hinei sohu v'avohu v'el ha'shamayim v'ein oram. There are many places in our society where there is a spiritual and moral vacuum, and our job is to shine the light of Torah, and part of the message of Torah is tzedek tzedek tirdof. We are responsible for creating a just and fair society for all of our citizens. The Netziv, in his somewhat famous and very powerful introduction to his commentary on Chumash in Sefer Bereishis, speaks about the fact that Sefer Bereishis is referred to as Sefer HaYashar. Why is it called the Sefer HaYashar? The Yasharim were the Avos, Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. And he explains that they were called Yasharim because of their concern for people who were not in their own Dalaramos. Avram Avinu pleaded and badgered the Ribbono Shel Olam for the people of Sodom, who were the worst kinds of wicked people in the world you could have. But because of their overwhelming sense of magnanimity, their generosity, their spirit of avas abrios, they care about everyone around them. As Bnei Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, we have a responsibility to follow in their path and to show our concern and compassion for those of us, those around us who are downtrodden. And hence, the Shvichus Damim by Shluchei Didan demands a macha'ah. I implore you again to watch the video. At a minimum, you should be able to feel the pain of a man whose blood was spilled needlessly, the pain of his family, and the pain of his community that, with a good deal of justification, feels oppressed. And thus, in the spirit of Halachta Bidrachav, Imitate Odei, that we imitate the ways of God, we say that when we are in exile, the Ribbono Shalom comes with us. Imo Anochi Bitzara. We may still be suffering, but what alleviates our suffering is that the Ribbono Shalom Kivayachol suffers with us. And thus we too need to make sure that we can feel the pain of others. Good evening. Thank you.